Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens July 11th, 2023 Exposure Reduction Committee webinar that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Actuarial and Underwriting Committee. It is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode. Panelists, thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. Chair Talamaca, we have no speakers requests for today. May I proceed with official roll call?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Chair Talamaca?
Here.
Board Chair Baruff?
Here.
Governor Hasner?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, Barbara. Good afternoon. I think today we also have a pretty straightforward agenda for this committee. And I'd like to first just call for the adoption of the minutes. Can I get a motion? Our minutes for the March 28th meeting.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. So first item on the agenda is just an update from Kelly Booten on the exposure reduction dashboard. So I'll pass it over to Kelly.
Good morning and thank you. On the key metrics for this meeting, the monthly policy data and estimated market share, the policies in force as of July 7th is 1,322,696, which is $4.4 billion in premium and $565 in exposure. The June number for new business was 54,781. You can move to the next slide. Yeah, there we go. The June number was 54,781, and for May, as you can see on this slide, was 51,684. So the first few months of the year, we dipped a little bit, but we're back into the 50,000 average growth, and the market share at the end of May was 17%. On the next slide is a little bit of new business trends. Nothing real different here. The homeowners policies, again, tend to be the largest amount of volume, and the Southeast Coast is the highest geographic reason for personal lines. On the next slide is a update on commercial lines, and Governor Talamaca asked me to go into a little bit of detail about what makes this commercial growth. At the end of June, we had 38,000, policy count was 10,077. The in-force buildings was 38,314, and the policy growth was 1,420, and the exposure was 85 billion at the end of June. So we had some significant growth in the May and June timeframe. New business growth in the first 6 months of 2023 was 3,952 policies or 25,681 risks. The average risks per month from January through April was 2,175, and the exposure was 4.6 billion. But May was 7,516 and 17.7 billion in exposure. In June was 9,464 risks and or 18.4 billion in exposure. So May and June were very heavy months for us. July looks like it is going to be a little bit less. May and June are seasonally the highest months. So we should be dropping a little bit, probably not to the volumes that we would like to, but definitely not to the May and June levels. The breakout of some of this growth, for the first 6 months, commercial residential wind was 36%, commercial residential multi-peril was 30%, non-residential multi-peril was 15%, and non-residential wind was 19%. 47% of the risks are condo associations, and they are predominantly concentrated in Southeast Florida, 54% of that business for the first 6 months. We continue to get older construction. The largest growth building age range was the 40 to 50 year old buildings that were at 31%. And in the first 6 months, 14% was at 20 years or less. 3,013 buildings were less than 20 years in age. A-rated buildings, which are the buildings that are 10 million and above, and have been continuing to grow and sit at 1,245 as of the end of June, which is a 858 growth in new business during the first 6 months. Submissions are an indicator of the workload in commercial underwriting. We get a lot more than we actually end up writing. Thus far in 2023, we have exceeded the prior 6 years combined with 8,858 submissions. So there's been a lot of commercial activity and a lot of growth. I'll entertain any questions on that one. Okay, on the next slide.
Not a question, just a suggestion. You know, for our next committee meeting, when you break down the increase in exposure over the last 6 months, it was interesting to see where that was coming from. It would be great to represent that in a graph, maybe like a pie chart or something that would make it visual and easier to understand and just capture where this is coming from, particularly over the last, I would say the last 6 months.
Certainly, we'll do that.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions on this slide? Okay, continue.
Okay, the next slide just shows the estimated market share. We have not updated it. It's the same as that was in the budget. And then the following slide is just a few key metrics. On inspections, we are on target to hit our goal of 300,000 inspections completed by the end of the year. We saw FMAP consumer requests converted increase to 7.5% year to date, May 2023. Depopulation, we actually had a good depop in June, and that number of 17,239 will take us ahead of all of 2022 combined. I'm not going to steal. Carl's got some great news on depop that he's going to share here in a minute, so I'll stop on that one. And on clearinghouse, y'all are going to resolve the protest tomorrow, and then from there we can talk about our permanent solution. We are implementing an interim solution to manage our clearinghouse program until we can get all that resolved. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions before we move on to the next item? Seeing none, I will call on Carl Rockman to do the update on the DPOP, clearinghouse, and FMAP.
Thank you, Governor Telemaco. I'd like to present the committee an update on our depopulation efforts. On page two, I'd like to report on the results of the June DPOP. Kelly signaled some great success with the June DPOP. You'll notice that we had 18,760 policies submitted or requested by the one carrier that participated, and that is Monarch. Pleased to report that 17,239 were assumed. That's a 92% assumption rate. How does that happen? Because Monarch took advantage of the statutory change that if they're within 120% of the citizen's premium, the customer has to go. So Monarch really took advantage of that opportunity. We applaud that effort, and we think it's the right thing, obviously, for the consumer and for citizens. So a 92% assumption rate is the highest we've ever had, but that's a carrier, obviously, leveraging and taking advantage of that great statutory change. For the month of August, the assumption that's currently in flight, we launched that assumption last week, conducting agent webinars this week. We have 26,000 policies that are in flight right now between Slide and Loggerhead. And we'll be obviously be reporting on the results of that as that assumption closes in August. But also pleased to report in the month of October, we've had five carriers apply for a total of 184,000 policies requested. Now they've applied to the OIR. The OIR is currently vetting them to make sure that they have the capacity for that. But once those announcements are done and the OIR has approved them, we'll be certainly making it known what the actual companies are and how much they've been approved for. But very pleased to see five carriers come forward for the October assumption at a rate of 184,000 policies.
Chairman Telemaco, may I ask a question?
Yes, please go ahead, Chairman.
Thank you. So the policies that they're being depopulated, do they get to pick those policies?
The carriers?
Yes.
Yes, the carriers do get to pick.
So they cherry pick the policies.
Exactly.
Okay. Therein lies the rub. The second question, Chairman, that I'd like to ask is, do we track, I'm sure we can, track these policies that leave us and if they show back up 3 years later?
Yes.
Okay. Because this is going to be, in this next round of depopulation, it'll be very important to see how, if we get into the same get quick rich insurance companies that are set up at the dime a dozen and capitalized with minimal amount of capital, and OIR lets them take our policies. They take all the premiums for a few years, and we end up back with the policy.
We have ways of tracking that, and historically, we've not seen massive returns, but clearly, we want to make sure that the program runs its course, and we manage.
We don't ever want them back. We want them to leave and stay out of here.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. That's my only comments.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions?
I'll just round out my report on depopulation on page 3. It didn't make the paper report, but I do want to report that on the Monarch assumption, about 50% Tri-County, about 50% outside of Tri-County. So even the targeted policyholders weren't just in one area of Florida. It was good geographic spread, so we're pleased to report that. Page 4 will be our report on clearinghouse, new business. You'll see the general returns we've typically seen. No big dramatic changes here in clearinghouse performance, both on new and renewal, with only 2% of our business deemed ineligible for Citizens in the current clearinghouse platform. And then renewal, the results are even a little bit more modest. And as Kelly mentioned, we'll be working through that process here shortly. And then page 6 is just the general summary of FMAP. Kelly's already reported generally on this. 328 agents participating in the FMAP results here in terms of consumer requests, slightly up on the aggregate. And we obviously look forward to supporting FMAP as it moves forward. And that will conclude my report.
Thank you, Carl. Any questions from anyone? I've got no further questions on that point either. Any new business that we need to discuss? Seeing none, seeing no questions, I'd like to call for an adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Great, thank you. Meeting's adjourned.